Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Oh, that off-air podcast. It could never happen while we're actually on the air. It'll happen when I finally get in trouble for whatever I'm going to get in trouble for eventually. By the way, Radio Tinder coming up at 11:40. We've got Brennan Marks of The Athletic coming up at 12:20. But yes, the off-air conversation, quite spicy today.
We'll never see the light of day.
Not as spicy as what I saw on the Charlotte Observer. And I want to give kudos to the staff over there, and I want to give kudos to who wrote the article.
That would be one Jonathan M. Alexander,
sir. Very great J.A., as he's known.
The esteemed gentleman.
And I thought the timing of this was perfect, because the Christian McCaffrey injury and the Dante Jackson injury are fundamentally different injuries. One, Christian has had 5 injuries in 2 years, and that's limited him to about 10 games.
10 games.
Dante played through the turf toe last year. I'm not trying to make this an anti-Christian thing, by the way. I'm just trying to point out the differences here. Mm-hmm. The other difference is Christian's already gotten paid. And Dante is one of 25 pending free agents for the Carolina Panthers. And when the injury first happened, I tried to make sense of it for what this means for Dante's free agency. I'm talking about removing the Panthers from it. Because Dante's final two games before he went on IR were not his best. He had a tough 2 weeks.
So who was that? McLaurin and Jalen Waddle last week.
Yes. Which, by the way, those are really tough matchups.
And maybe this groin injury impacted his ability to cover those guys. We're just finding out about the groin.
I actually think the Panthers have two really, really interesting cases in free agency. There are a couple more than just these two, but specific to their position group. Dante Jackson and Stephon Gilmore. The one thing I know in the NFL, there are certain positional groups that if you hit the open market, you will get paid stupid money. Wide receivers get stupid money.
Pass rushers.
Cornerbacks. Bradbury. Right? Like, I remember when people signed and looked at that $15 million a year, thought that was stupid money. It looks smart now because James has been very good in New York. Yeah. But, like, James was not – I don't think a lot of people thought of James as a number one corner.
He made the Pro Bowl that 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got – was it first year in New York or his last year here?
It was
here?
His first year in New York.
First year in New York he made
but
the Pro Bowl. Yep.
When he got paid, it was not unanimous. This was not what Stephon Gilmore's been, 2019 Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL.
No, they hadn't been on that level.
But maybe Dante's a comparable case. But the point is, if you told me both these dudes get absolutely paid in free agency, I don't think I would be surprised. But
paid by the Panthers or paid just in general, somebody's going to give them what they want?
I don't think they'll both get paid by the Panthers. Right, but so, I do think both will get paid.
So, of course, Gilmore's going to get paid. They both will get paid. That's fine because you got to have corners in today's pass-happy football.
Oh, but when I say get paid, I mean we're going to look at either one of those and we're going to go, whew, that's a spicy meatball.
I don't think either one of those dudes are going to get top of market money. We're talking Jalen Ramsey, Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters. They aren't getting that money.
I think it's more about we'll look at what Dante gets paid, given that he's had some ups and downs and the two injuries now, and we'll say, man, that's pretty spicy for the resume. Well, I think the same thing with Stephon.
I think it's going to be we're going to look at the number and go, yeah, we just weren't in position to pay that. I'm going to tell you who Dante's situation is for me this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's Curtis Samuel from last year. Mm. A guy that had some injuries, played good ball when it was time to get paid, and got paid. It was just elsewhere. Now, if it's me.
Can I just draw one line in the sand before we get to that?
Sure.
Dante has been on the field more, and I think Dante. Like, Curtis had one good season. I don't want to say one good season. He played one mostly full season.
Yeah, one full season.
And was dominant in that.
He was an excellent player, no doubt.
Dante has been a pretty good player that the last 2 years has elevated his game. And from last year to this year, there was another jump.
But they both find themselves in the same position. Mm-hmm. When it was time to get paid, they played good ball, even with injuries. And then Curtis had to go get his money from Washington. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens with Dante. But to punctuate where I'm at with Dante, and you combine him with Gilmore, right now, and this includes a healthy J.C. Horn, Dante's the best corner on his team. So if it's me and the money can make some sense, and it's going to be tight, and they may not be able to pull it off, I'm making Dante Jackson as high a priority as I'm making Hassan Reddick.
So I think the tough thing with talking about it, it's not just Dante in a vacuum. It is Hassan, Dante, Stephon, Daquan Jones, Jermaine Carter Jr.
I can find Jermaine.
And I don't think we can get into this without talking about the real elephant in the room. Is you are asset strapped as it relates to finding an upgraded quarterback. Because you owe Sam Darnold $19 million regardless next year. You have just paid Cam Newton, which eats $10 million that would roll over into next year. And oh, by the way, you're still paying Teddy a nominal fee next year as well. And you only have one pick in the top 100. So any which way you try to upgrade, if you try to trade for a quarterback, you're going to have to trade for a proven quarterback if you go down that route, at which point it's going to dig into your finances further and to your draft collateral. And then, even if you draft a quarterback, let's say you were to get a top five pick, even if you drafted a quarterback, well, then you're still paying Sam Darnold $19 million to sit on the bench next year. I really don't envy the cap situation that Samir Suleiman is in, because I think it's a really tough position, and given the amount of guys that you have that are quality players, and the fact that you do have, like, it could be defensible. If the Panthers let both Dante and Stephon Gilmore walk, because you've got C.J. Henderson, Keith Taylor, and J.C. Horn, all three guys I think you should be comfortable with rocking with going forward, and I think you've got A.J. Bouye on a second year as well.
Yeah, so a couple things. This is the top five, as Jonathan M. Alexander of the Charlotte Observer lists them. Priority rank. Hassan Reddick 1, Dante 2, Cam 3, Stephon Gilmore 4, and I'll stop at Matt Paradis at 5.
Please do.
All right, so over the cap wise, I'm on overthecap.com. I'm looking at, all right, where are we at salary cap wise projected for 2022? Carolina Panthers are down here hovering around $30 million. Let's do this real quick. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. So that's somewhere around 20, 21, 20 or 21st most cap space. Now, that's a little bit misleading. You can restructure Taylor Moton, advance him some money. You can restructure Christian McCaffrey again, give him some more money. We'll see. You know, you can sign, and I can't imagine they would do this, but with that group, you never know. You could extend Sam Darnold and bring that cap number down if you felt comfortable with him at some point. So we'll get into all of that.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the press release? Can you imagine the reaction if Sam doesn't play another game this year and they hit him with a contract extension, even if it's a cap move? Can you imagine the reaction to that in Carolina?
Yes, it would be a thing, and you and I would talk about it amongst others on the show.
I would have feelings.
Here's my third one. I'm not so sure I would love to see Cam back. And given we don't have a second or a third round pick right now, it would just depend on how much Cam is willing to accept to come back and play this. Because we can't keep doing this. You can't keep saying either he's kind of the starter, but Sam Darnold is kind of the starter. We can't keep doing that. But other than the quarterback spot, we've already touched on Hassan Reddick, who's a yes, priority one for me. You bring back Reddick. He works here.
Can I tell you the most difficult thing about just hearing you talk about it and thinking about it is that there's a chance you don't truly, when I say truly, I mean figure out who your starter is going to be until the draft.
Even and if you draft a kid.
And that's the most important position that you have to figure out how much cap space, how much resources you're going to allocate for that.
They won't know who the starter is until camp next year.
When I talk about the quarterback position, I'm talking about taking a long-term stab. If they go into the draft with Sam Darnold as the only starting caliber quarterback on this roster again and then don't address it, I honestly don't know how you can spin this that things are going to be different this year. Even if you were to take Ekwonu, the kid out of NC State, with a fifth pick in the draft, I don't know how you're selling this thing is going to be different. It really, and here's the other part of this, because we're talking about the quarterback piece of this.
Well, I was going somewhere, but go ahead. No, we're on quarterbacks, because I'll circle back. Go ahead, we're on quarterbacks.
I think the other challenge of this is you're trying to figure out the quarterback with okay cap space, but not great, with 25 free agents. And you've got probably five or six guys that I think are real guys that you have to consider paying good money to. But then there's a lot of depth pieces on here. And I think one of the strengths of this team this year has been, look at the depth on that defense. Like, they are two or three deep at most spots, which is not anything you could say about them last year, or I'll say it, the last year of Ron
now,
either.
Now this is where I want to go. We all understand the depth on this offensive line is non-existent. Now, we haven't seen Dante Brown, and we haven't seen Brady Christensen like get serious, consistent snaps. So those are two young pieces. We'll see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Irvin has been gone for a while. All right. We also on the defensive line have an issue. Nick, teams aren't going to stop running the ball at the heart of this defense. What are you going to do with Daquan Jones? And then how do you get depth behind? I like what I saw from Phil Hoskins against Miami.
Davion was pretty good when he was out
there. Davion has flashed. Bravion Roy has had moments.
Mm-hmm.
But none of those guys are going to be the answer right now. We're talking about now and in the immediate future. You got to go get you a big boy on that interior. So if it's not Daquan Jones, you're going to have to go pay for somebody else.
I think you're going to have to prioritize things. I would rather prioritize rebuilding that offensive line and seeing if Bravion, Davion, and Phil Hoskins can grow into that role for a season, and then 2 years from now, if that doesn't work out,
Bravion Roy started against Miami.
704-570-9610. Which free agent should Carolina prioritize, and is Dante Jackson, with or without that injury, is Dante Jackson a priority this year? And Notre Dame leveled up on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick and Stan. We've got Radio Tinder coming up in just about 20 minutes. We are going to get to, somebody on the text line said WFNZ Two Kings Takeover Day. That'll be part of Radio Tinder. Oh, we've been on that idea for a minute
now.
Yeah,
that would be dope.
But Notre Dame levels up. Not necessarily in the head coach, but they have leveled up one of their coaches.
Somebody's going to get paid.
This week, Brian Kelly done the dirty to the Notre Dame fan. Can we just admit?
He didn't do the dirty.
Can we
to
admit
him.
That the Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan base has come off as real soft batch cookie bees in all of this?
Well, they should be in their feelings. A really good football coach, I would say an elite football coach,
because
you can't be elite without winning a title.
Yep.
Yeah.
Please see ACC Coach of the Year, Dave Clawson. Hashtag Big Deke Energy.
An elite coach without winning a title, but they view themselves as, we're one of the elite programs in the country, and you are, but you're not in the same class to win a championship with other places like LSU.
So let me dissect this. Players, I get it. Other coaches on that staff, if they didn't like the way Brian Kelly handled business, I get it. If you feel personally slighted, I get it. Now, the good news for those guys is, if because of the whole you went to go play for Brian Kelly, you can transfer if you want to. Mm-hmm. And now they are going to level up Marcus Freeman, their defensive coordinator, as the new head coach, and Tommy Rees, former Notre Dame quarterback and also their offensive coordinator. He's going to stay.
Freeman, 35 years old, and clearly the brother's name is, Marcus Freeman. He's a brother.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But, like, I understand if the players are upset with Brian Kelly, but the fans, like, there was some Notre Dame photog who released a picture after 8 years of Brian Kelly flipping off his sideline after a Tommy Rees interception. He said, I've been holding on to this for 8 years. He was flipping off his own sideline. Sit down, Karen. Like, just shut up. Like, I just,
care? He flipped the sideline off. Okay.
If you played at Notre Dame and you're upset, I can kind of get it. If you played for Brian Kelly at Notre Dame and you're kind of upset, I get it. If you're currently a player at Notre Dame and really upset, or if you're Marcus Freeman or Tommy Rees, anybody on that staff, I get it.
I don't get why anybody's upset.
But, well, no. I do understand feeling a personal connection and feeling slighted. But I don't understand grown adults going to their soapbox because the team they root for's head coach left when this happens at every other school. Congrats. Now you feel the way you feel like North Carolina fans felt when Mack left for Texas after his first stint here. Now you feel the way.
That hurt me because I was a recruit. That hurt me. I was on my way to Chapel Hill if Mack stayed.
Wait, I thought you just said you don't understand people getting upset.
No, I said in that particular case, as a recruit, I was personally in. I wasn't mad at Mack. It just sucked that he left.
But this whole idea about, like, listen, Brian Kelly can be a not great guy. Brian Kelly can be a D. And Brian Kelly can also be a very successful head coach. But this idea that Notre Dame fans thought they were above, and listen, there's some reason. This is the first time in 96 years that a head coach has left Notre Dame for another college job. Then the name is like Harry Dean Stanton, not the actor. It's some goofy 1920s name that did that in 1925. But it's been 96 years since somebody did that. Now, to the school itself. I have had my real question, Stan, about the idea of in a prominent win now situation, leveling up a first-time head coach.
At a program like that.
Ryan Day at Ohio State. I had real questions about him taking over for Urban. Lincoln Riley. I had questions about him taking over for Bob Stoops.
What about your man Tom Herman? Left Ohio State as a coordinator. Did you say Tom Herman?
I did not.
Tom Herman goes to UT as his first head coaching job.
That's a great reference actually there. But here, so what I'll say is both Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley have at least assuaged my fears on this to some degree. My bigger concern is that you're doing it with a school that has some restrictions. You're a first-time head coach learning on the job with restrictions that Ryan Day didn't have at Ohio State. So it's less about Marcus Freeman, and it's more about how tough the Notre Dame job is if that is your first job.
Notre Dame is different than almost any other school in the top 10, you know, top 15. We know the academic requirements. You know that the lifestyle on campus there in South Bend is not a traditional. They're not recruiting just excellent football players. They're recruiting dudes that are excellent student athletes that understand there are clearly religious overtones on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts campus lifestyle. You don't have the same luxury and freedoms that you do at some of the other football powers. Quite frankly, the scale of what the alumni expect from you. You have to go to more elbow-rubbing, schmoozing events than a football coach probably wants to go to.
It's also in the middle of Indiana with nothing else around
and
it.
And it's cold as bleep. Now, Chicago is a decent drive away. You can get to Chicago and the guys like that. These are the things they sold me on when I was being recruited to Notre Dame by Bob Davey. And then the last part to me is the media obligations. The NBC contract, the access. So you got to make sure, and I hope if it is Marcus Freeman that ends up getting this job, because the deal is not done yet, but there is a push by current players, former players, current staff, and boosters to make Marcus Freeman the guy. I hope he surrounds himself, not just with keeping Tommy Reese on staff, which it sounds like that's going to happen, but you got to go get you got to do what Matt Rhule didn't do. You better bring somebody in there that has been a head coach before to be an advisor to you on how to conduct your business so that you get going off to a fast start.
So I think, I guess with me, with Marcus Freeman, and one, this candidate specifically does not get this job 20 years ago.
No doubt about it.
And specific to the Notre Dame job.
Yes.
First time head coach.
Bingo.
Inside 10 years coaching experience,
yeah,
and being a young black man. You don't get this specific job 20 years ago with this resume, with everything entailed.
I agree.
So that's really cool that Marcus Freeman gets that job. I love that. I root for Marcus Freeman. But I think there's been a proven path at Notre Dame of winners in the last 40 years. Lou Holtz fits this. I think Brian Kelly, at his many stops, has proven this. Guys who can win in different environments. So the unknown with Marcus Freeman is, as a head coach, how do you build a program? How do you sustain a program? You knew that with Matt Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that with Luke Fickell, even though he's only had the one stop at Cincinnati,
let's
be fair.
Let's double back to Luke Fickell. Finish your thought, but I got something on Luke Fickell here.
But I think that is, this is the risk. If you are, I look at it more of a risk for Marcus Freeman. Like, this is a tricky job, and you don't have experience as a head coach building a program. And now you're going to do it in a, or try to sustain what Kelly built and then build it into your own way. So I do think that is the trick of this job. Not saying he can't do it. It's just an unknown because he's never been a head coach before.
Brian Kelly's last words to his team, or to that team, was, "You guys are a championship team." He left the cupboard very stocked. And quite frankly, Marcus Freeman is going to get, if they, if, between him and Tommy Rees, they're doing a lot of the recruiting of the players that are coming there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they have as many five stars as Alabama and Georgia and Alabama, Georgia, who's the other one? Alabama, Georgia, LSU? No, they aren't getting the same caliber of kid.
I think they've got two top 100 kids for this year's recruiting class, and I think they have three top 40 kids for 2023. That's something I saw.
This past year, Notre Dame had one five-star on the roster.
Yep.
LSU had 13. That's the difference in what we're talking about here. But going back to my Luke Fickell point, so some background on Marcus Freeman. 35, I mentioned that, played linebacker at Ohio State, was an assistant with Kent State and Purdue before joining Luke Fickell's staff at Cincinnati, where that's where he became the defensive coordinator for the first time. I think Marcus Freeman is going to be in South Bend. The question is, can they lure Luke Fickell from Cincinnati to come to Notre Dame, or does Luke Fickell turn down the job and say, no, my guy Marcus Freeman is ready?
Well, I mean, it seems like it's Marcus's job to lose. That's what, I mean, pretty much everybody has said.
Fickell hasn't said no.
Well, but they also, I mean, one, Tommy Rees has already said, I'm in. And two,
says he's in.
Every report says it's about as done deal as it can get without papers being, I's and T's being dotted and crossed.
So I'm looking at a report, we're saying some of the same thing. Leading candidate. He's clearly, but it would be remiss. It would be a disservice to Notre Dame football if they didn't reach out to Luke Fickell.
I don't think you can let out reports that that Marcus Freeman's the leading candidate and put all this momentum into the ether and then pull back and say Luke Fickell.
Of course you can. Luke Fickell may get his team into the college football playoff, number one, and there's going to be no love lost. Marcus Freeman used to coach for Luke Fickell and would likely retain his position at D.C.
I actually think in this event, and again, I think the job's done. I think it's going to be Marcus Freeman. And I think there's a few other things we can get to with why that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if Fickell were to take the Notre Dame job, and I do think if he thinks Marcus is going to get it, I don't think Luke Fickell's going to take that job. I don't think he would do that to his guy. But I think then the end result is Marcus Freeman goes back to Cincinnati as the head coach.
Yeah.
That's what I do think would be. I don't know that he would have to stay there in Notre Dame. I also think it's fair to ask, how much of this has to do with the playoff? Like, we heard Gary Barta. This is Gary Barta talking about all the metrics that they've considered, including Notre Dame not having a head coach and whether that would impact them being in the playoff mix or not.
Committee obviously is aware of all the coaching changes while we were going through the rankings. This week, it didn't apply because the games had occurred and we evaluated based on those games. Once the championship games wrap up, to your point, our protocol does include the ability for the committee to consider a player or a coach not being available, and should that have an effect on the outcome of a game, that can be considered. At this point, we'll have to wait and see how that factors in, but it is one of the criteria that's now added to strength of schedule, to head-on-head competition and winning championships, etc.
So I wonder if whether it's the move or the presumption, this push to, hey, guys, look, we're going to make Marcus Freeman the head coach. I wonder if this is about trying to get the selection committee to buy in and get in. If the right dominoes fall, let Notre Dame in and say, hey, all we're waiting on, if we hear we're in, Marcus Freeman's the guy, we're going to move forward with him. I wonder if this is a part of it or how much of it is.
It's got to be a piece. It helps the optics. But any reasonable football mind that I want to believe is in that room in Grapevine, Texas, the College Football Playoff Committee, there's a difference when you don't have Brian Kelly on the sideline. Real in-game adjustments, decisions, clock management, game operations. So it helps cushion the blow, but I think it would still be detrimental to Notre Dame because they need some help getting in.
They do, but my hope is because there's continuity.
I understand.
Because I was pretty hot about this yesterday, and it really is just because those young men deserve the opportunity to finish what they started.
I agree that they deserve.
Well, and my point is, if this is, if for the first time somebody in Marcus Freeman's position gets the kick up because of circumstance, it will be the first time at Notre Dame where the circumstances help somebody like Marcus Freeman. I'm okay if this is a significant part of Notre Dame's move, even though you could make the argument letting this play out and take trying to get a Luke Fickell or a Matt Campbell might be the better long-term move. Marcus Freeman's done enough that he deserves this opportunity, even if part of the push is circumstantial. 704-570-9610, Notre Dame. Leveling up Marcus Freeman potentially as their new head coach. Is this a good move for Notre Dame? Is it a good move for Marcus Freeman? Radio Tinder is next. Give us a name, a topic, idea, statement. We will swipe left if we don't like it. Swipe right if we do on Sports Radio FNC. Hey. Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. We've got Brendan Marks of The Athletic talking Carolina Duke basketball coming up in about 40 minutes here. But before we get to any of that, guys, it is time for Radio Tinder. Send in a name, a topic, an idea, a statement. And we will swipe left if we don't like it.
Okay, this just got uncomfortable.
And we will swipe right if we do.
This is very uncomfortable.
For instance, I want to play this play last night. Again, the Hornets did lose to the Bucks, but there was LaMelo's three-pointer that tied the game with about 6 seconds left. There was LaMelo's 36 points.
Are we going to talk about Miles Bridges dunking on Giannis Antetokounmpo?
You jumped the shark. You jumped the shark worse than Happy Days, because this was, here's Miles Bridges' great dunk.
Welcome, the knowledgeable fans here in Milwaukee.
Oh! Just put the freak in the basket.
I believe once upon a time it was PJ Washington that put the freak in the basket. But that has nothing to do with this or that. Giannis is the most noteworthy posterizing of Miles' career.
No, the Clint Capella dunk last year.
Oh, no. Maybe I didn't do a good enough job of explaining this. I didn't say what was his best dunk. But is Giannis the number one guy you can posterize right now if you are Miles Bridges?
He's up there. Just for the sake of time, I can't think anybody.
Like, it's got to be like LeBron or KD,
like,
right?
I was going to say Kevin Durant. Other than Kevin Durant, so I would put Giannis right there. Sure. Swipe right on that.
I'm going to swipe right that Giannis is the most noteworthy posterizing of Miles' career. Again, that's not best dunk, because Giannis is not only the reigning NBA champion, MVP.
Finals MVP.
He's also one of the three best defenders in the NBA and one of the most impossible guys to dunk on.
I found another one. Joel Embiid. If you can flush on Joel Embiid at the rim, that'd be dope.
I like that. I really, really like that one. All right, guys.
Indy face.
Continue to... Here's the thing, then. The problem with Joel Embiid is he's going to spend the rest of the game trying to get you back. And he probably will. Like, especially with Miles, who plays the small ball five.
Yeah, that's not going to go well.
And that one's going to hurt there. All right. From the text line here, Radio Tinder, Panthers, and then in quotations, the brand. All right, so we're talking about Michael Jordan. Swipe
the
left.
Left guard, Michael Jordan.
Swipe left on Michael Jordan, the left guard.
Of course you're swiping left on Michael Jordan. He graded out, didn't he? Who graded out as a zero? Somebody.
No, that was Trent Scott.
Oh, Trent Scott's great as here. Michael Jordan wasn't much better. Yeah. He's a slappy.
I just imagine Pat Meyer walking into the room. All right, guys, starting at left guard this week. Michael Jordan.
Guess what you get to do? You get to block Fletcher Cox today.
And you get a sack. And you get a sack. Everybody gets a sack. Sorry, Michael Jordan. You're a nice guy, I think. With that being said, we continue here. It is Radio Tinder. Send them in on the text line, 704-570-9610. Swiping left if we don't like your thoughts. Swiping right if we do. Mike from Forest City. Bone-in wings are better than boneless wings. I also will swipe left. I think they are equally great. They are equally amazing. They're not the same thing, but they are equally amazing.
And to your point, it also depends on where they come from.
Fair.
Boneless at some places are better than bone in some places.
Like Zaxby's.
Mm. That's a strong take. Swipe right on itty bitty fitty takes. This is going to be a kumbaya segment here.
Yeah.
Donna from the text line saying Deke's winning ACC this weekend. Well, as the purveyor of big Deacon energy, swipe right. Pat swipe, Narduzzi?
Swipe left on that bleep. Narduzzi's defense and Kenny Pickett
is the pit.
They're going to put 40 up on Wake Forest.
Let's make a show bet.
Oh, show bet. What's the show bet? Is it that Pitt puts 40 up on Wake Forest?
No, let's just go who wins, Wake Forest or Pittsburgh.
Going with Pitt.
And if Wake Forest wins, Stan has to buy us all lunch?
Wait. So I know how this is going to work, because then if Nick wins, then... Or if Nick loses the bet, then Nick has to buy it. So you're just trying to angle free lunch here.
You didn't let me finish.
Put some skin in the game, kid.
If we lose.
Who is we?
As BDE.
Who is we? Uh-huh. Oh, so you're with him.
Team, yes.
Team BDE.
Yeah, team BDE.
Do you cheer for Carolina or do you cheer for Wake? I don't know.
I'm cheering for...
He cheers for excellence. That's who he cheers for.
You're dressed like a the Rams with the blue horns.
Easy.
You're dressed like you at Carolina right now.
All right, but continue. If Wake wins.
Or no, if Wake loses, I'll buy lunch. I'll put my money where my mouth is.
Oh, I love this, yeah. So I don't have to buy lunch in any scenario, but I get lunch? Yeah. Swipe right on that. Swipe right on that bleep.
Swipe left on this whole line of thinking.
You're afraid. You said Pitt's going to put 40 up there.
No, I said Pitt's going to win.
And then you're afraid. It's Pitt, okay. It's a big, scary world we live in.
Pitt's favored by 3. Over and under is 71.5.
All right. Carolina Dave, why are you doing this to me? Him saying Cam Robinson getting signed by the Panthers this offseason.
It's an upgrade over what we got. Swipe right.
I was told Cam Irving was an upgrade over what we got.
And when he's out there, he's better than Dennis Daly. Cam Irving is better than Dennis Daly. Swipe right on that.
I think at this point, we should just avoid Cams. All right? I think after the Miami game, the Cam thing is just not hitting the right way.
Whoa. Cam Newton. 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
From the text line, Matt Rhule gets fired after Atlanta. Swipe left.
Swipe left.
I think there's about a 1% chance Matt Rhule gets murked at the end of the season. I think there's about a 3% chance Matt Rhule leaves for a college job. I don't think he's getting fired after Atlanta.
No,
it would have to be Atlanta went out there and dropped 60 on you. It would have to be such an obvious boo-boo that Dave Tepper couldn't ignore it. Worst moment in Panthers history, bad.
Not happening.
704-570-9610. It is Radio Tinder. We are swiping left and swiping right on the finest submissions from y'all. Some of the text line saying eggnog. Swipe left.
Oh, swipe left with a little Southern Comfort in there?
I tried it. I actually tried it with some Bullet.
Bullet rye whiskey, yeah.
I tried it two years ago. I ended up just drinking the Bullet out of the bottle. The eggnog made it worse.
So here's what I don't understand. So I'll do it like, I drink it almost like a dessert cocktail. So I don't drink Bailey's and all that other stuff. I don't
no White Russians
Kahlua,
for you?
White Russians, no. But I will, just seasonally, get a little eggnog going.
Why?
Little bourbon, it's just a seasonal thing.
It doesn't really taste that good, though.
There are some good ones out there.
See, that's a problem. It's too hit or miss.
It is hit or miss. Now, that's fact.
Like, let's be consistent about this so I know. Like, when I make my own White Russians, I know how to make it so that it tastes consistent every time I make it. Yeah, swipe left on eggnog. I'm sorry, I can't do that. All right. UNC basketball will end up with a better finish than Duke basketball will. Swipe left, swipe right.
Swipe right. More experience.
Man, I don't know. This is so tough because they are different. They're very different teams from each other. I'll swipe right. Because my big thing is, I think Paolo Banqueros, a guy who can take over the tournament, he's so talented. He's the kind of guy that can single-handedly make the difference.
We said the same thing about Zion and that Duke team and what ended up costing them against Michigan State. They couldn't shoot.
Well, but they didn't have depth. They had three guys who were really good and nobody else who could play. Four guys.
They had four McDonald's All-Americans.
And nobody else behind them.
All right.
They had Joey White. God, he was awful. Nice guy, though. Really good guy. Also, Sam Darnold will start another game for the Carolina Panthers. Swipe left, swipe right.
Like in his career or this season?
Yes. Just I'll leave it open-ended.
Yes, Sam Darnold will start again for the Carolina Panthers.
Why do you hate us? Okay, he'll start another game this year for Carolina.
Swipe. I'm going to say swipe right. I think Killer Cam can take us the rest of the way.
So wait, wouldn't that be a swipe left?
That's what I meant.
All right. I'm actually going to swipe right. One, because I don't trust any quarterback to stay healthy behind this offensive line. So until I see Cam start the rest of the way, I'm not going to believe it. Because I don't trust the offensive line. Quite frankly, I don't trust the head coach. I don't trust the offensive coordinator. I don't trust the organization.
Who do you trust over there?
Like, I love Sir Purr. Cannot, like that, what that bear do anything he wants. That's a Panther Nick Wilson respects and endorses.
Is there anything other than the mascot that you trust over there?
Top Cats.
Phil Snow's old man strength. Not Phil Snow, but Phil Snow's old man strength, yes.
If Phil Snow bear crawled in here and asked you to believe in his defense and their ability to stop the run moving forward.
So with a threat of a beating from Phil Snow, not have to take the beating. I'd have to take the old man strength beaten from Phil Snow.
I'm going to have to think about this during the break. What aspect of that operation do I trust?
Matt Carter on the text line saying Brent Venables at Clemson next year. I'll swipe right.
Swipe right.
I don't think he's getting Oklahoma.
I don't know that he wants that at this point. It's got Bud Foster vibes to me. Just ride the DC thing.
Is Radio Tinder. You just asked the question, though, about what do you trust over there
I at did Bank that for of America a reason.
Stadium.
You know what I did there?
It's called a segue.
It's called teamwork.
And I think that leads us into a really important question that one local analyst answered about the Panthers yesterday on this station. We'll get to that next on Sports Radio FNC.